So we are continuing our sermon series on women who knew Jesus. And part of what's so remarkable about this series is that there are enough women identified who even knew Jesus that were mentioned in Scripture. In that culture, in that time, as I've shared with you, women were invisible. And today we'll be hearing from Matthew, a writer for whom he did not come to this with a sense that women were the number one priority, and yet he's going to tell us a story about a woman who was an overprotective mother. She asked one thing. If you could ask one thing for your kids from Jesus, what would you ask? Here's what she asked. So Jack, would you come share that?
Today's scripture is from the book of Matthew, the 20th chapter, verses 20 through 23. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked a favor of him. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Declare that these two sons of mine will sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink?" And they said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left, this is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." This is the word of God for the people of God.
So I discovered some great good news on Friday night, and that is that Hallmark is starting to show their Christmas movies on Friday nights already. And for some of you, this is great news, and for others of you, you might roll your eyes, and that's okay, I get that. But it's always fun to watch those movies because you always know how they're going to end. They're going to end happily, and so that's kind of one of the things I like doing, which is part of why it was so shocking and difficult for me when I first heard about the college admissions scandal some months ago, because one of the Hallmark movie stars is embroiled in that. All of her movies have been pulled from the Hallmark Channel, presumably never to be seen again. The whole college admissions scandal is in itself just a terrible thing. There are parents, both parents, but particularly it seemed to be mothers, that did whatever it took to get their children into the college that they felt that their children needed to get into, so that they paid people to pick up a number two pencil and go take the SATs, pretending to be their kids. They gave huge donations, $500,000, to a school with a wink and a nod that you will let my kid in. They even contacted coaches of some of the more obscure athletic teams to bribe the coach to get the coach to get their child admitted as a member of a sport, a team member of sport in which they have no experience at all and for which they never had to show up for a practice. This was hard and heartbreaking stuff to read about. And when I first heard about these things, I thought to myself, how terrible that these parents are letting their kids know that they are so spoiled that whatever they want, mommy and daddy are going to make it happen. But then I thought about it more, and I realized that the biggest crime against their children was this: that those mothers and fathers told their kids, before their child had even taken a SAT test prep course, that they're not good enough to pass it on their own. They said to their child, "You know what? I don't even trust you to take that test. I'm going to pay somebody to impersonate you." They told their kids, it doesn't matter what school you may think you want to go to, and you may not want to go at all, or maybe you want to go to junior college, but I'm going to give $500,000 so that you can go to this school that I think you need to go to. They told their kids, it doesn't matter what interest you have. I am going to have you pretend to be interested in this one sport so you can get into this school. And what every one of those actions told their kids is that they are not enough. That no matter what their hopes or dreams or talents or skills were, they were not enough, and that the parents were going to have to take care of all of their deficiencies. What a terrible message to give your children. On this Father's Day, for any fathers, for any mothers, for any parents, make sure if your children know nothing else, that they know how wonderfully enough they are, just as they are, with what they hope and what they dream. So the scripture we heard today was a mother who didn't want simply to get her child into the right college, but she went to Jesus because she wanted to get her boys in the heavenly kingdom. I mean, college was small beans compared to what she wanted. She wanted the best for her boys. She wanted her boys to sit at the right and left hand of Jesus when he came into his kingdom. The mother of the sons of Zebedee, that's all we know her as, asked this thing of Jesus. Now that teaches us that she knew who Jesus was. She could tell because her boys were hanging out with this guy. She had done some research. She had followed him. She knew that he was something special. And apparently, she even believed that he was who he said he was. I want you, when you come into your kingdom, to have my boys beside you. She wanted what she thought was the very best for her boys, and who could blame her? But Jesus looked at her briefly and said, "You don't know what you're asking." And then he looks directly at the boys. And he says to them, "Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink?" Now, on warm summer days, we think about a cup and we think about it being filled with iced tea, brimming with ice, maybe a little lemon, maybe a little mint, maybe a tall glass of water. Maybe if we're a child, a cup of chocolate milk or apple juice. And if we're adult, maybe a cup filled with pina colada. I don't know. But when we think of receiving a cup, we think, oh, that sounds good right about now. And there's coffee in the lobby, too. But that wasn't what Jesus was saying. As we all know, Jesus and his followers, they were all Jewish. And in Jewish tradition, there was a rich history of the word cup as a symbol of suffering, testing, rejection, judgment, even violent death. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he pray? "Oh God, let this cup pass from me." And he wasn't talking about Coca-Cola in that cup. And so when Jesus responds to the mother of the sons of Zebedee by saying to the sons, "Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" he's changing the conversation immediately. And they have to know that. And with the hubris of youth, they respond, "We are able." And we have been singing about them ever since. "Lord, we are able. Our spirits are thine. Remold them, make us like the divine." We sing that in that song, "Are ye able?" And the boys did too. But the boys fell away. We know that. When things got tough, the boys fell away. But something happened with the mother of the sons of Zebedee. We know that she came to Jesus with this outlandish request. We know that Jesus did not respond in the way that she wanted. Now, like any overprotective mother, which I am, if it had been me, and if I was making a request, and the request indicated that my desires were not going to be met, I would likely have dragged my sons off to some other teacher who would have realized what an incredible, above average set of sons I had, right? But that's not what happened. She stayed somehow. She listened. She who asked much, listened much. And miracle of miracles, she herself followed. How do I know this? Well, the mother of the sons of Zebedee is mentioned only twice in Scripture, both in the book of Matthew, the time that I just read you from Matthew chapter 20. And then she shows up again in Matthew chapter 27. What's happening in Matthew chapter 27? It's towards the end of the gospel. Jesus is brought to trial, and he is crucified. And in verse 54, the centurion was watching and he died, and the centurion said, truly this man was God's son. And then in verse 55, after all the disciples had fled, in Matthew 27, 55 and 56, at the cross, many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. She was at the cross. When her boys had fled, she was at the cross. See, she who asked this outlandish thing of Jesus, she listened and she followed. Because she realized that Jesus' answer wasn't to give her magically whatever she wanted. It never is for us. But that Jesus' answer invited her sons and ultimately her into a relationship that would involve a cup that would be tough. In fact, one of her boys, James, became the first disciple of Jesus Christ who was martyred. And so things didn't turn out the way that she thought they would initially. But through the relationship that she found, through the following that she chose to do, both she and her boys found new faith, new hope, new love through following Jesus Christ. So I lift her up to you this morning, that whatever big questions, outlandish requests you have of Christ, feel free to make those because that's human nature, but listen to the response and hold on to that relationship that's offered you in return. Will you pray with me? Oh God, for this brave, bold mother, I give you thanks. I thank you that she was willing to ask all that she wanted, but that she was willing to listen to the response and that she was willing to follow. Give each of us a fraction of her faith. Amen.